Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rach.
Hello.
And joined by Ash.
Hello.
On Christmas Day.
Hello, ho, ho.
Definitely recording this ahead of time and not at all on Christmas Day, which is the opposite of the joke that I was telling. But either way, Merry Christmas to you. And thanks for joining us. We're going to run down the year in review, the year that was 2018. And so I kind of just like rounded up a whole bunch of different news stories, certain big games that came out, different things that were released. Also, it's us three because it's the skeleton crew. Everyone else is currently enjoying their Christmas
because
dinners.
Skeleton crew because we like horror?
Or? Oh, yeah. Check out the horror podcast. There is that
there
too. So we'll just kind of run down some of the big announcements, things that happened across the year. Back in January, we started out with Celeste, Dragon Ball Z, Fighters, Dragon Ball Fighter Z, and Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter.
And so I can't believe Celeste was that long ago, considering how many accolades it's now had, and it's up there with like Red Dead and whatever is one of the games of the year. But that thing was dominating
it's
all
brilliant.
Day long.
Yeah, because you know, obviously, like the Oscars are the same, but the Video Game Awards, it always seems to be like games that just came out in the past few months, and you sort of forget about your games that came out like the start of the year. So it's great that people remembered how good Celeste was. Mm-hmm. I still haven't played it personally.
Oh, Rage. Get it for Christmas, will you?
This man has convinced me.
I was going to say, it's the amount of hype you've given it the past couple of weeks has made me like, oh, yes,
well, you bought it, right? Have you got it?
Not yet. Oh. It's my Christmas game. I will have be playing it
future
today.
Future you will have played it by the time they see this.
Yeah, because I was like, I'll treat myself on Christmas.
Yes, so there is a possibility that by then you might have got through it. Jumping to March, I don't know if you guys kept up with Vivendi trying to take over Ubisoft, but big ol' Vivendi, big bad V, were trying to take over Ubisoft and basically do a hostile takeover, which is why you saw a lot of Ubisoft celebrating their 30 years on planet Earth and whatever at different past E3 shows, because they were like, hey, we're a strong company, we have strong IP, we don't want to be taken over by a hostile company.
Go away.
Please go away. Hence why they announced Beyond Good and Evil 2 so far ahead of time, because they were like, we've got stuff coming. So in March, Vivendi finally stopped trying to take over Ubisoft, so victory to them.
Well,
it
done,
means
Ubisoft.
That we'll get like, slightly less money grubby stuff from Ubisoft instead of the full on microtransaction hell that would have come with a Vivendi takeover.
Good guys.
Are you guys proud of Ubisoft standing up for themselves?
Yeah.
Me too. They've got things to offer.
Stealth Blade out.
It does mean you've probably got more Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
it means there's more of that coming for
the
rest of time.
Do we need more Assassin's Creed? Maybe not. But we'd be happy that Ubisoft are the ones doing it and doing it their way.
Yes, so. At least we're not getting Assassin's Creed mobile apps every month for the rest of time. Also that came in March was Sea of Thieves, which was big old thing.
Oh my God.
Ashley, do you play Sea of Thieves?
My friend downloaded it and she was absolutely crazy on it when the beta was out. She was like, oh my God, Ash, it's the best game I've ever played. It's all this pirate thing. You can sing a song when you're on the ship and everything. And I was like, okay,
not
lying. Yeah, so I'll get it when it comes out, because I went to go and play the beta and run out by the time I actually went to go on it. And I was like, I'll get it when it comes out. Then it was like £50 or something to buy it, and all the reviews were absolutely slamming it. So
it was on the Game Pass, to be fair.
That's how I got it.
It was on the Game Pass.
Apparently they had a record surge in people buying the Game Pass, because obviously everybody just got it to save the full price thing and then immediately got rid of it again.
I didn't invest my money into Sea of Thieves, but the bits that I saw of it, the bit that was most disappointing movie was that the Kraken was literally just some tentacles.
Like. Yeah, as soon as someone went underwater and realised that the horrifying Kraken was actually just a bunch of tentacles and no body, it was kind of ridiculous. Although I had a really good first impression with this. The first 20 minutes with Sea of Thieves were brilliant, because I teamed up with two random people and we went on sail on the high seas and we shot some other players and we took their loot and then we traded it back in and it was great. And then immediately after that, it was just kind of like, okay, what else you got? And then Sea of Thieves was like, do it again.
For me personally, it just looked a bit bit too aimless. Like, I'm all for a sandbox, but not at that sort of price point.
It's a sandbox with just sand, like none of the nice things.
It's a literal sandbox.
There's no bucket in space.
Exactly. It's like, whoa, look at all this sand. A sea of sand. A sea of sand.
If you literally just take the beach without the water, just sand. It's kind of lame,
it's
rough.
It's dry, it's coarse.
And
it's
irritating.
It gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere. Other than into their financial good books. So yeah, that thing didn't do very well. But Rare have continued to placate it with a whole bunch of DLC and stuff across the year. I don't know the specific stats on how many people are still playing it. But assumably there's a Sea of Thieves fandom out there that are still enjoying it. If it has meaningfully changed, get in touch and shout at us using the hashtag WCGP. Moving into April, that was when Radical Heights happened. Do you remember that? Remember Radical Heights?
Oh, that was
your favourite genre Battle Royale.
Battle Royale game. It was very, that's the sort of 80s style one. I watched some streamers playing that. Didn't look terrible, just didn't look like it had enough
it didn't do very well
playing it. Yeah.
So basically Radical Heights happened because Cliff Bleszinski, dude that made Gears of War, tried to make made Lawbreakers with his company Bosskey Studios, or Bosskey Productions, made Lawbreakers. That was one of the biggest bombs of last year, and they just had a dwindling player base. There was literally about 15 people playing it every 24 hours. It was a hell of a thing. And so you can go online and read all about why that thing didn't go very well. And then in the wake of that, like, Lawbreakers failed, and he was like, okay, we've got this other project that we've been working on all along. It's a battle royale game with a neon 80s like sort of sensibility. And everyone was like, this looks like a spreadsheet of what will sell, brought to life. And he was like, no, it's a passionate thing. We've been working on it for ages. Understandably, that completely failed as well. And then sadly, Bosskey shut down as well, which is his own studio. But Cliff was like, I'm done. I'm sick of trying to make stuff and trying to make the next Gears of War. So I'm going to go home.
That's a shame. I hate it when anything fails, to be honest. It's just like...
Did you want more neon battle royale, though?
No, I didn't, but maybe someone out there did. If it's a shame.
If you wanted neon battle royale, you let us know, because clearly not enough people did. Also back in April was when the Belgian Gaming Commission declared that loot boxes were illegal, which is what came from Battlefront 2 at the end of last year.
Feels like only yesterday, doesn't it?
Oh, lovely loot boxes.
Back when you could gamble your money away scot-free. But yeah, so the general war...
I get
war...
it, because you're scot.
I was going to go there, but I'm there. But yeah, so generally the war on loot boxes continued across this year, and different states and different places seem to be putting different regulations in place. As far as the UK is concerned, it's still fine, and the ESA, which is the big American body, still think that it enhances the experience of gaming. But Belgium and Belgians were some of the first people to say, actually, no, it's illegal, and it falls under the gambling bracket. Where do you guys land on it?
It's a big question, because it's
for a Christmas day.
It is a big question, a big Christmas day question. You've got your own loot boxes that you're opening. But I think it depends. It depends on how they're selling them. If it's very much an add-on that's like, hey, you can get this bonus thing that's cheaply priced and isn't like something you need to grind incessantly for in the game to actually achieve. Mm-hmm. It's a nice addition, but with anything, if it is qualified as gambling. And if it is seen that way, which it can be, because it's investing your money into something that you're hoping to get out of it, it's like doing the slot machine, then it needs to be marketed as that.
Yes.
Maybe not illegal, but just marketed as, please play responsibly.
Do you think going forward in 2019, the solution, because the amount of money that loot boxes and these kind of recurrent spending methods make is astronomical, and so the industry's not going to let go of it with ease. And so what do you guys think of, like, say, the general sort of visualization of those things? Because like, it becomes way more obvious what you're buying into. Is that
people,
a way to make it okay?
People are wise to it now, I think. Like, for example, I had a massive phase of loot boxes in Overwatch and in The Elder Scrolls Online. Don't laugh at me.
How much money did you spend?
Too much money.
Carry on.
I heard about the mount. We heard about
so many mounts. Well, that was World of Warcraft. Warcraft, it's not loot boxes.
It's kind of all as bad as each other.
So yeah, I had my phase and I really enjoyed it. Actually, I mean, I got what I paid for. I got this sort of like excitement of, am I going to get tat? Am I going to get something amazing? And
is that not really like bad though?
Yes. So I had my phase of it, and now I'm sort of wise to it. And there's just other things I want to spend my money on now. I prefer to, if it's an in-game purchase, I prefer it to be something like, I am spending my money, I will get this thing. As opposed to the random element of it. But there's still people who obviously love the whole gambling side of it. I mean, gambling itself is massive, as evil as it is. It's massive. So there will always be a market for it.
I think, considering that, the way that it's gone this year is that you have lots of different states declaring different different ways to make. I mean, it either is legal or it's illegal. I mean, we have different like.
It's well, it's 18 over if it's gambling. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's. I mean, I'm kind of waiting. I think 2019 will be the year where a definitive like mandate gets put in place across the board because.
Actually, sorry, just to hop in. If it's 18 plus, that's a really good point. If it's children's games that they're putting legal ads in, like you know that they're just trying to manipulate a market.
Yeah, totally.
That is taking,
mummy, I need more.
I want more things.
I
plus
need more Fortnite points.
They accidentally attach the credit card to the account.
It's like your posh child voice.
mummy, please.
But yeah, I mean, even then, the 18 thing, like that differs by region and stuff. So it's like different developers have talked about changing their games. Like Overwatch, I think, is released in a bunch of different states, depending on whether you play it in China or Belgium or here or wherever, because they have to disclose the drop rates of the loot boxes in China because their government mandates that we need to know what ratio we're going to get the loot. Mm-hmm. And so even then, you've got developers potentially putting more time into developing, like, you know, region specific games. So something has to give at some point, even though they're making a cackload of money. So something else that came out in April, just for the sake of mentioning a big old game, was Spyro.
Aww.
2018's Spyro the Dragon. Ooh. In 2018.
Wait, that was this that came
Get
out in
November.
Yeah, that should totally qualify for Game of the Year, guys.
It came out in November.
Right, well. Are you okay? Have you had enough sleep? Spyro came out in November, mate.
Did it?
Yeah.
You know maybe that's when it was announced.
It came out in April. It was God of War.
I've even got the word announced written down, but I just read it as coming out.
It was God of War.
Either way, it's a 2018 game, so don't worry about it. Definitely going to be in Game of the Year rankings. Did you guys like Spyro?
Yes. It's been a long year.
It has been a long year. We definitely did a whole bunch of these in a row, and this is not Christmas Day.
I loved Spyro, so that did eventually come out. It got delayed, which broke my heart, broke your heart as well.
It did. I did a little tear. I did maybe two tears.
But yeah, no, obviously, that was a series I was just desperate to see remastered because the first three games are the best. Mm-hmm. We tend not to talk about the three that followed The Legend of Spyro.
Oh, with Elijah Wood. When he became, he was an awkward teenager for a bit.
They were okay. The last one was okay. The one where you got to play as Cinder as well, the two-player one, that was okay. But anyway, the point being, as soon as Crash got remastered and as soon as I saw how good that looked, I was like, right, we need Spyro.
Tell me about the skateboard level. Because you described the skateboard level, and I don't even know what it is.
Level of the year. Game of the year.
What do you do?
Basically, like, as if you didn't think that Spyro was bonkers already, there is a level where in the third game you have to collect dragon babies, dragon infants.
Okay.
And there's a part of a level that has these two hidden dragons in it, and you win them by getting high scores on a skateboarding park, and it's brilliant. So you have to go around like doing flips and stuff. And
is it just them doing Tony Hawk's?
Yes.
But better.
Okay,
but
good.
Better. So you'll go up the half pipe. You have to like flame all these lizards that have stolen the baby dragons.
Yeah.
So you go up the half pipe, you get that one that's chilling up there, and then you go over through the tunnel and you go and get that one. It's honestly brilliant. And it was that level that you just used to replay over and over again. Well, I did anyway.
No, same, literally. When I opened up the old game the other day just to play that level. Yeah. I was like, I just want to go skateboarding. I want to do it right now. I like Hunter. I have a little bit of a crush on him. So
is he the big cheetah tiger?
He's a big cat.
He's proper like HD now. And he has like defined arms and legs now, and he has a defined face now.
HD stand for like hot dog.
We're joking.
Are we though?
Technically, he's a cheetah.
Are we joking? Yeah, it's very true.
When I say he was just lovely. He was lovely. Yes. I really liked Bianca the Spell Woman as well. I think it was like an awakening for me, living all these cat people. I was like, I'm a furry. That's what it is.
Spyro 1 and 2.
This is going on the internet.
It is going on the internet. Anyway, talking about skateboarding things, there was a Metal Gear skateboarding minigame in Metal Gear Substance.
What?
Which you guys totally missed out on, but it's like a punk rock surfer boy version of the Metal Gear theme. For me and the 10 people that know what that is, it was very good. But yes, you were right all those moments ago. God of War also dropped in April.
Yes.
And that was a bit of a thing.
Still haven't finished it.
What the future you might have finished it by then, so it's all right. But yeah, that dropped in April. It did 3 million copies in its launch weekend, which was some big old masterful thing. And so that was a bit of a thing. That was our Game of the Year one. Oh, no, sorry. That was the Video Game Awards Game of the Year, but I'll get to that later. God of War was thrown around so much.
Wasn't quite ours, was it?
No, Red Dead Redemption 2 was ours.
I don't
want
to
watch
a Game of the Year.
My Game of the Year is different. Again, I think my Game
Yours
of the Year.
Yours is Pokemon.
Definitely Pokemon.
Mine is Smash Brothers. Either way, though, at the end of April, might be Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers Ultimate is pretty good. but yes, April ended with the Nintendo Labo, which was the...
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of fun with the Labo, making little cardboard RC cars and banging them off each other.
Scott, I've never seen... Right. Scott is a very happy person. Mm. Scott loves everything. Scott also hates everything. But in the case of Labo,
I have
never seen a happier, almost 30-year-old man playing cardboard. Oh. It was the most adorable thing.
I mean, I got married this year, but I had a lot of fun with Nintendo Labo. They're almost up there together. Asia.
The two things that Mark Scott's here, marriage and lava.
It was, they were both really good. And the little RC cars thing, me and Rich made them for each other and then we just whacked into each other and it was
so
brilliant.
Cute. We put googly eyes on them, didn't we?
Yeah. As a general rule, take this into 2019, everything is better with googly eyes. Yeah. Everything. Door handles, everything. And so, yeah, we made little googly-eyed RC cars, but you can also make like a cardboard piano and there's a cardboard fishing rod, there's a cardboard everything, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And so, yes, that was what rounded off April. And just one thing I was going to mention as we move into May was Xbox released their adaptive controller, which is the... have you guys seen this?
Yes.
This thing?
Yes.
Have you seen this thing?
It was like a big old mixer board and you could plug controllers into it for less able gamers.
Yes. Yeah. So basically they wanted to make something that would just, would kind of just solve the problem of accessibility for anybody who might not have, you know, a standard array of digits or whatever. And so they basically went out there and did a whole bunch of research and made what is honestly one of the best controllers ever created, the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And so it's just a little thing to drop in here because it's a wider conversation as to how accessible games are overall.
Oh, yeah.
And they're paving the way for way more people to get involved. And it was just a lush thing to see.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think in terms of the way that video games are accessible? Because we never really think about it. We just assume that you can just use a standard controller. And so it's pretty good to move into this kind of territory.
Yeah.
Obviously, every game is different. There'll be some games that are easier for people to play and some games that there's just not a hope in heck they'll be able to play. But with this kind of controller, they can. And it's the kind of thing that, like, once I really think about it, gets me, like, proper emotional. Because it's just so nice. Because,
do you know why it gets you more emotional?
Because I'm a sensitive flower.
Because more people will play Dark Souls.
More people will play Dark Souls. Think of the ways we could hook it up to a banana. Sorry,
I mean,
done.
There should be more ways to hook it up to a banana.
I just think it's pure and lovely and wonderful.
It is. Gaming's for everyone. Gaming is for everyone. And to be able to make it accessible to everyone is like the key thing.
I think the underlying sentiment is that why did it take this long?
Yeah.
Like it's taken so long for just to make something that would work for everybody.
It's just lovely.
And then even people who are just used to standard controllers have just said that this thing is a great way to play because you can remix buttons, you can have giant versions of buttons. It seems to be a cool way to play. Something else that came in May was Rage 2. Now I know only three people played Rage, but you tend to play nothing.
Oh, you mean it was
like in terms of very small games. Aliens, Colonial Marines. So I kind of thought you might have played Rage. But yeah, Rage 2 got announced in May and that looks delicious.
It looks very edgy and vibrant and Mad Max-y, which I did enjoy Mad Max, but I hope it is actually good. I don't know why, I'm just a bit nervous about it.
What makes you a bit nervous about it?
It seems it's trying really hard.
I think it's very self-aware.
It's
very Andrew WK, and they got him out to advertise it. In fact, that song was on the trailer, that's why I'm so saying it. But
no, I want it to be good. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous about it.
I thought, because it's kind of been dual developed between id Software, who did Doom, and Avalanche, who do the Just Cause games. But reading into it, I thought that all the first person stuff would be id Software because it's Doom style, and that Avalanche would be doing the vehicle stuff. But apparently, Avalanche are doing the whole thing, or the vast majority of the whole thing. So I'm kind of interested to see how they take on board something that's a first person, almost like arena shooter, looking at the way the combat works.
Yeah.
Because that's not where their specialities lie. They've just done Just Cause and just did Mad Max. So there are things to come from them as far as putting those things together.
Ready to see it. Hold off expectation.
It'll be the game of the year. That's I'm declaring it now. It'll be the game of the year.
I hope so. Well, the Cyberpunk's coming out next year.
Not
Team Racing coming out
next year. So is the Medieval remake.
That's game of the year.
Oh,
we're
going
to have this argument next year now. Bookmark this. Come back to it. Medieval is game of
doesn't
the year.
It count as a thing from
it
the
does.
New times. It is an old thing. But also, as
Kingdom
we move into
Hearts
June...
Game of the year.
It's not
Kingdom
the thing.
Hearts
3. CTR is fundamentally new game because it has online racing. But also in June... I mean, we'll see. This will be next year's Game of the Year discussions. But anyway, June was E3. And so I just dropped that in here as well. That was when E3 happened. There are way too many announcements to reel off in terms of everything from E3. But Sekiro got announced, the new property from Software. Gears of War 5 for the remaining Gears of War fandom, of which I am one of them. There's also Devil May Cry 5 got announced and Doom 2. So, Rach, this is your time to shine. What do you want to see from the next From Software franchise?
It goes to show, like, it goes without saying, I'm excited about Sekiro.
Yes.
I was a little diva and I was like, it's not Bloodborne 2, I don't care, don't care, looks okay, looks fine, but I am so pumped for this game. Just the grappling hook looks amazing and I'm looking forward to having that dynamic. I was watching some early access gameplay of it. It looks, like, buttery smooth and so precise, like, literally to the fact that you can, like... the guy I was watching play it, like, dodged a spear by, like, millimeters and took no damage. And it's so perfect.
I wonder if they've started prioritizing that more because of all the little gifts that came out of Bloodborne, where it was, or even, like, Dark Souls 2 and stuff, dodged and then got hit anyway.
It reminds me of, like, a complete contrast to Dark Souls 2, whereas, like, you'll be, like, the other side of the map and Smelter will still flatten you. but, yeah, no, it looks brilliant. Actually, what I was even more excited, the highlight of E3 for me was Ori.
Oh, really? The Will-O-the-Wisp.
So that had already been announced.
Yep.
But they had that piano.
We got to see a little bit more of it, though.
They had that piano trailer, and I was
actually, Ash, you're an Xbox fan. Have you played Ori and the Blind Forest?
I haven't played Ori and the Blind Forest.
Go play Ori and the Blind Forest.
List. I've got such a long list of games.
You take that list and you throw it away. You go play Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's on the list, is what I mean.
Okay, well, you still throw it away and just make a new like a label that just says Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's on the Game Pass now.
So. Yes. Is it? Okay.
Well, it's a beautiful thing.
Future me will have played Ori and the Blind Forest by the time this comes out, and I'll make a tweet. I'll do a tweet.
Good. Yes, do that because it's delicious, and Rachel will love you for it.
Okay.
More than she does.
More than I do.
It's good. Beautiful. And so as we move into August, that was when Cyberpunk 2077 got its big old 45-minute gameplay demo, which was the thing that we sort of did various backflips and pops over. So this thing, like, we keep talking about it as coming in 2019, and hopefully, Lord willing, that maybe it will.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I do believe it if I go at my core.
It's too good to be true.
I believe it. My little heart is there. It's going, please, you can do it.
But the bits that they showed off, it seems like it's pretty far along. CDPR want to take their time because of the way that The Witcher 3 had a bit of a weird, not rough launch, but they had to put up with a lot of people saying, this thing's been graphically downgraded, it's not exactly how you advertised it, and whatever. So this time around, CDPR were just like, look, we'll take our time, we'll show you exactly when we need to, when we want to, and we'll just, you know, they publish and develop so they can take as long as they want.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the gameplay that was out there so far?
Oh, it looks fantastic. It looks good. I'm just really excited for this game.
It's got the cyber and the punk and the 2077 and everything.
It's so good. Like, it's just such a cool theme, and that it's based on tabletop and it's taken that and takes all these RPG elements, and that everyone speaks in different languages and you use a translator to listen to them. And it's just so magical. It's like Blade Runner meets Terminator and other scary robot things. Mm. And it just looks fantastic. And that it's CG Projekt Red, and that Witcher 3 is like the love of my life.
How
can you not love it? So this is going to be the science fiction version of Witcher 3, which I think is an incredible thing to say. It's almost like the Elder Scrolls and Fallout, but I have very much faith in this version of the Fallout.
Like, CDPR seem to be the phoenix rising from the ashes of Bethesda. Everything that Witcher 3 does is potentially things that the other Scrolls games are kind of lacking.
No, 100%. I think CD Projekt Red are everything that you want Bethesda to be. So I think that this is why I'm so hyped this game. I think it's everything I wanted.
You're speaking at the pace that I usually do.
I know, I'm so excited. Like,
it can only be good for Elder Scrolls 6 because there will be that sort of bar set by Cyberpunk.
Although
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Bethesda did say that their next, that Starfield and the Scrolls 6 will still use the creation engine.
Of course.
So it's probably just going to be a wireframe mesh at this point, but hopefully it'll be a workable product.
Let me have my hope, okay?
For now, you can have it. But yeah, so Cyberpunk 2077 looks pretty phenomenal. Yeah. I was a little bit scared that it's not third person because I adore that about The Witcher. Mm. I love third person combat models more than first person.
I don't know. Hype for the first person.
Yeah.
It's very much a craft your own story type game.
Yes.
And I like it when those are first person.
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I mean, I think that, yeah, I would have preferred the combat to be in third because I like the look of the blade arms and the way that they move in that world. I would like to be able to do those kind of, because
maybe
little,
it'll let you switch. Like,
no,
like,
they've said it won't. It's, no? It's first person.
It's because you have like a hood so you can see things. Like, you know, like Judge Dredd or RoboCop.
It's very augmented reality.
Yeah, so yeah, I think, as much as I definitely prefer third-person games, mm. I think that's a really cool addition. So.
Yeah, there's. I mean, the whole the cyberpunk genre, like at the minute, is it definitely having like a bit of a renaissance. Like the synthwave genre is huge. Like Hotline Miami kind of populated those kind of soundtracks, and it's kind of everywhere. So I'm kind of, but because Cyberpunk, the novel, the original game book, 2033, I think is the name of the book. I do own it, but whatever, it's that. was one of the original versions of that whole, you know, like the way to do a world, a way to do that kind of genre. So it's about time that a game with the same name came along and kind of dominated it.
Yeah, actually, it
go
was
on.
Like, it was Cyberpunk 2020 is the...
2020, that's the
so
one.
So it should come out in 2020,
33 is
really.
The add-on, I think.
Yeah.
The Super Nerds.
The game it's based on is 2020, so if it came out in 2020, I'd also forgive it for having an extra year of development and also being reminiscent of the first thing.
Yeah, I put on, and there'll be a list going up very soon, which should be... Future, it'll be in the past for you, but it should be online by now. There's a rundown of all the PS5 games that we know are in development, and Cyberpunk is one of them because I think it's Marcin Iwinski who works at CDPR. The other dude? Maybe...
Sorry, my brain.
Thingy Bobs from CDPR basically said somewhere he was asked, hey, is this going to be on PS5? And he was like, well, I can't say, but it's definitely going to work with future generations of tech. And I was like, so the PS5 then.
I think it's going to be the bridge. It's going to be the sort of
bridge
the Last of Us that's kind of like, it's on both kind of thing. Maybe there's going to be a better version on the PS5.
If it was a cross-generational release and a PS5 launch title, that's a hell of a thing. We're getting too far ahead.
Exciting.
It might be a thing.
I have hopes and dreams and things.
You're allowed to have... It's Christmas, thanks. So you should have them. But also, as we move into September, disaster struck as Telltale shut down.
That was September?
That was
oh
in
my
September.
God.
But to be fair, I mean, you looked at the... A lot of people started doing lots of deep dives on the sales statistics for Telltale Games, and it turns out that really the only one that made a decent profit was Season 1 of The Walking Dead.
It made complete sense. Why didn't we see it coming? It's
like... Well, no one was really tracking it in terms of it. Everyone just assumed that they, because of the success of the first season of The Walking Dead, which nearly everybody played, big touchstone of 2013 or 2012, ever since then, you just kind of assumed that everything else was just selling gangbusters, and it just wasn't. And they kept snapping up every IP, Minecraft, Batman... Whatever else they did, and none of them seemed to track.
Tell you
so,
what
yeah.
was great though was The Wolf Among Us. I am lamenting. Yeah. I'm assuming two got.
That was one of the ones that
just fluttered off into the wind.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. But the first season is very good. But yeah, the first season, that's still very good. And all the games that they put out in that time period are very much worth playing. The Borderlands Choose Your Own Adventures are very good. Yeah.
Not played that one yet.
Apparently, it's one of the underrated ones. Jules played it and said it was very good. So switching gears a little bit, Nintendo Switch's online service launched in September as well. I said a little bit because the paid thing was bad that now they're charging you to play Mario Kart. But you did get a nice little archive of all the old NES games.
Oh,
why are you shaking your head, Rach?
Do you not
want Mario Brothers again? No?
No.
What about Mario Bros. 3?
I mean, I paid it because, I mean, I needed it.
Same.
But it's not, they've not given me a reason to spend.
Ninja Gaiden's on it now. Do you want to play Metroid as well?
Moan. I'm sorry for moaning, but they've not really given me much like incentive that they're like taking my £20 and actually doing something that they didn't give me for free before.
True.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, considering they just did the mini NES as well, a lot of us just bought the games that are then put on the Switch collection.
That was obviously like happened to us.
Yes.
With regards to Smash Ultimate, which I've been playing a little bit online, it's pants. It's such a shame because Splatoon 2 is so buttery smooth. Most of the time, if there's an issue, it's
I'm loving
on
the buttery. Sorry,
buttery smooth, mate.
Because it's ink. I could say inkly. It's just like inkly smooth.
No,
I don't know.
Butter all the way.
If there's an issue, it's on your side. But with Smash, just it'll be so inconsistent, and it's like, why am I even paying you for online service? If it's this crap.
I feel like they just did it because obviously the competition does it, and they gave us a grace period of like a year and a bit. But like you said, there's no real but you're totally valid because the overall sentiment was, what the hell, this isn't worth the money, and I would totally back that too.
I need it though. I need it because I need to play Splatoon,
and that's what they're banking on. And we like the rest of us just ended up buying it anyway. So another thing happened in September was Sony finally allowed cross-platform play on Fortnite, which I know we don't care about Fortnite, but
it's a nice good step.
Yeah, totally. The idea of cross-platform play seems to be something for the future of gaming, that Team Xbox can fight Team Sony, Team PlayStation, and can fight Team Switch or whatever. And so, like, it's an interesting thing. I think that if done well, you can market the living hell out of this. Mm. So I kind of want to see more of this sort of stuff in 2019.
Yeah.
Mainly so that the four of us, two of us that have Xboxes in here, can fight the PlayStation Legion.
Four of us.
So three of us plus... Maybe it's just three.
It's Josh as well.
Brown. Josh as well, yes. Yeah. Okay, us four will take on the PlayStation
I'm
army.
I'm not playing Fortnite, sorry.
No, not at Fortnite. Good Lord, no. Maybe at The Last of Us 2. Actually, no, that wouldn't even be on Xbox. I don't know, but it won't be Fortnite.
We are professionals who
have planned the sentiments ahead of time. But yes, so as we moved into October, that was when Red Dead Redemption 2 dropped, and when...
Woo!
Which is, you know, a lovely thing that shouldn't have been Game of the Year, but it's fine. But also,
Jimmy's backpedal just a little bit there. Hello, Scott. Did you not like Red Dead?
I liked it a lot, but it wasn't Game of the Year. It's just not. It's not Game of the Year. It's fine, but it's no God of War. See the Game of the Year debate for more. But
Scott Tilford, cowboy pooper honor.
That's what the CV says. But also, so in October, that was the thing. Red Dead Redemption 2 dropped, but alongside it came accusations of 100-hour weeks to get the game to be put together, due to an interview that came from Dan Houser. If you drill down that thing, turns out he was only really referring to a group of four executives who said, look, we just wanted to do 100-hour weeks for that extremely ridiculous crunch period. It was entirely voluntary.
Yeah.
But obviously the giant media spin became, oh my God, everyone over at Rockstar's working 100-hour
Chinese
weeks.
Chinese whispers, isn't it?
Kinda. And so, what do you guys think of the general sort of crunch culture around gaming? How many hours should you put in? How much should you sacrifice your own time? Because that's a hell of a conversation.
I mean, game development is obviously... It's the same as any other job. It's the same as us sort of trying really hard to have a video done by the end of the day. It's like, at the end of the day, when you have a deadline, it has to be finished. But with games, we've seen a lot of games that have been obviously pushed back, postponed, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why crunch culture is still such a big deal.
I think it's it depends, because I think it depends how many, like, because sometimes it does just get inhumane. Like if those 100-hour work, because a lot of the reports that came out of Rockstar said that some people said that they felt like there was a pressurized environment and they felt like they had to work longer hours.
And in 2018, being what it is, and I feel like mental health is at an all-time, like everyone and their nana seems stressed these days. So you would
stressful
think
time.
These sort of things would be trying to be phased out, like crunch, like deadlines, that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, little Jimmy needs his Red Dead on October the 27th or whenever it was.
Yes.
And I mean,
We were the little Jimmies and we were buying Red Dead and it was good. But the crunch culture thing, definitely, I think... It's not necessary to like stress people out that much, like you say. Like tinsel just gone into
getting
my hand.
Attacked by Christmas decorations.
This is obviously very easy to say from people who don't make games.
Yeah.
But so we don't know exactly. I mean,
we've stayed back a few hours to get stuff done, and nowhere near 100-hour weeks even close to that. But I think that it's all going to come down to the mentalities that are present at those particular workplaces.
Like, do you want to be doing that? Yes, fine, go and do it. Yeah. If not, brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know?
That will be my take on it, because that was the thing, was that Dan Houser said that him and he reeled off like three other executives, it was their choice to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's all going to come down down to personal choice.
Yeah, which is the main point of
that. Yeah, and it obviously you want to look after the general mental health and general well-being of the rest of the
workforce. That is very important, yeah.
So it's kind of a bit of a mix, but regardless, that thing got blown up into, oh my God, the whole studio did 100-hour weeks, and just for the sake of quelling that, that is not the case. At least providing Dan Houser's telling the truth, which I'm going to assume that he was. So that was how October kind of shook out. In terms of something that didn't go anywhere near as well as Red Dead Redemption 2, Fallout 76 was in November, and that was a big old pancake of
as of
nothing.
Today, it's now like $12.99 or something.
When was the last time you guys played it? Was it just before we covered it?
Yeah. Ashley and I played the beta, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Did you have the fun?
I did have fun.
Hold my hands up. We had an all right time because we were sorting it out. We were checking everything out. It was all right, but it was messy.
It continued to be messy.
I disagree. It was empty.
Mm, yes. Which is messy.
There was no mess because there was nothing here. No, I mean, just listening to Rich obviously talk about how much fun he's having with his friends.
Rich is loving it. Yeah.
I do agree. Like, a game is, like, games are subjective, aren't they? Just because it wasn't for me doesn't mean it's not for you, doesn't mean it's not for someone else. But the overall,
were some objective qualms, though.
The overall majority.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, it's sometimes if you're getting disconnect issues and if you're, you know, the whole game is riddled with microtransactions and all that kind of stuff, there are some things that could be filed away as just objectively not good.
Oh, did you hear about the DLC?
They've
dropped the price of the game, and the DLC is still, well, how much is it? Like 30
quid? It's expensive. It shouldn't be expensive. It's like, oh, yeah, we're really sorry for messing up this game, but here's some more money and we'll give you another bug-addled thing.
Throwing more logs on the trash fire that was that game's launch period, like they had the whole thing where people who had splashed out for the special edition, and they got sent the wrong type of bag.
Oh, the bag. Yes.
And so they tried to, like,
they called it
the canvas.
Well, they advertised the canvas bag, like a decent military canvas bag, and then they supplied people what literally looked like a rubbish bag, like just a garbage bag. And then they say, and then their apology thing was like, oh, well, sorry, we changed it
bag
because of manufacturing costs.
That was it, Baggate.
Baggate. And it was like, well, you can't advertise one thing and then do something else. So that's not the best. And then, like you said, the game price has been reduced, but the DLC's been ramped up. Oh. And they also have a Christmas pack where it's about £12 for a whole bunch, just a bunch of little icons. So if you want some overpriced icons.
Do you get a hat?
You don't get a hat. You might get enough things in the game to buy a hat, but I don't even think that was the case.
You start with a party hat. At the very least.
True.
They give you something.
That was one of the most hilarious things, though, was they gave you some in-game currency as, like, recompense for, oh my God, we messed up the launch. And also, like, you know, we're going to sort out the bags and everything. But the money that they gave people as recompense wasn't enough to buy an in-game bag. So it still wasn't the best.
Bags.
So it's like, Bethesda, sort your life out in 2019. Have a word with yourself. And so, yeah, that wasn't exactly the best November. And November was also when that Diablo Immortal thing was announced at BlizzCon, which is when that dude was like, is this a badly timed April Fool's joke? Mm. And that kind of all blew up as well.
So, yeah, it was well-timed. We got Diablo 3 on the Switch on, like, the 3rd of November. And then later on in the month, obviously, it was announced there would not be Diablo 4. There would be Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
And I love everything. I was immediately like, oh, cool, I'll play it. And then I sort of stopped and I went, I would have rather had Diablo 4. Wait a minute. What is this game on mobile? What is it? Hello? What is this?
I think, when we initially covered it, because it's very easy to look at that thing and go, it's fan entitlement gone mad, which it still is for the vast majority. But if you look into the way that game was developed, the way that, Blizzard have partnered with a different Chinese company to make a knockoff version of something that was already in motion.
Clearly just been made for money.
Yes, to just bolt the Diablo property onto.
Not for people.
So it's like, I think both sides of that coin need to be addressed because gamers are some of the most entitled people ever. The way that we talk about our franchises and properties, like you said before, about Bloodborne 2, and I'm totally that way with, like, if they did anything with Metal Gear, I'd want it to be in a certain way. And so, like, there are things like that. But I think both sides of that coin need to be addressed, even though the reality of Diablo Immortal is kind of like a cash grab.
I will play it though.
So yeah, as we got to December, that was when the PlayStation Classic launched, which was a bit of a rough launch, you might say.
It's a nice idea.
It's a beautiful little thing. When we played, we had lunchtime sessions on Tekken 3, which is great. I always win. No one's ever going to beat me. But
Ben, Ryan and I were playing Resident Evil.
You did?
And I was like, oh, I know this bit. This is the bit when the dogs come out. And I was like, I'm ready for it. had a swig of my tin of juice and was not ready for it. Tin of juice went everywhere. It's still so good.
There's some pros and cons to that thing. I like its form factor. I like that it's like whatever ratio size it is. I think it's a nice little thing.
4x3, I guess.
Yeah, but it's in terms of like it's a 1 to 6 size. Like whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever like reduced size.
Oh, I
size
see. I got
is.
You. Yeah, yeah.
But no, either way, it looks like a very nice little thing. And
it's so cute.
The game selection obviously isn't ideal. But for me, I could always defend it in terms of they didn't put Crash or Spyro on it because they want you to buy the remasters.
Yeah.
And so the things that are on there, like Resident Evil, Metal Gear, Final Fantasy VII, are solid. Metal Gear Solid. world.
I just remember. Metal Gear. They have the Kodak on the back.
The back of the cardboard box. So little things like that are great, and that's where you kind of see them go, okay, like we've really considered this, and it's great. But having now played the full like array of games that are on there, Final Fantasy VII runs like hell. And like whenever you come out of a battle, the sound actually like goes, does like a record scratch type thing because it barely loads the next instance. So, it's bad.
That's a shame.
It's a real shame.
We were just talking about how we'd never played Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Don't play that version of it.
This could have been our chance.
It's not like it's not available on literally everything else.
Shut up, Scott.
Go buy a phone. It'll be on there.
My excuses.
It's on the floor right now. It's literally everywhere. You can play Final Fantasy VII wherever you need to.
Yeah, there it is.
They released another version of it. But yeah, the PlayStation Classic, obviously a bit of a rough launch, and the array of titles is a bit hit and miss. It mostly scratches the itch, though. Tekken 3, still a beautiful game. At least for the people who grew up in PAL regions, because if you're in the US, it's just too slow.
And I was enjoying Resident Evil.
Yes.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And so December also saw the release of Below, which was originally shown back in 2013. I don't know if you guys remember the original Xbox One 13. Launch release stuff.
Jeez.
So, Below is like this Link to the Past Zelda type thing that's all like zoomed out or whatever, and it took this long for it to come out. Below, though, thankfully, is a very nice little survival RPG, hack and slash type thing.
Oh, I kept thinking you were saying Blow.
You kept thinking.
I kept thunking.
Stop thunking me.
I'm covered in tinsel again.
Not on Christmas Day.
Thunking. You were saying Blow, but Below.
No, Below. Not Jonathan Blow. Below. Yeah. Eventually came out in December alongside Ashen, and both of those games went on the Game Pass. And so you dove straight into Ashen because it's that Souls again. And so how is Ashen?
Ashen is lovely.
Good.
Oh, thank you.
So good. Oh, Ash. It's basically, it is very Soulsy. It has the same sort of combat weapon kind of mechanics, but it has a map.
Whoa.
There's a
map. My God.
And it's all about like doing various quests for people in the village and then bringing them back to your village, and they start to build up your village, and it's just so lovely and pure, and so difficult.
Yes. I saw you fall off a cliff. But it's kind of like, because it's almost as if they looked at Souls and went, okay, the bonfire mechanic is cool. People like resting at bonfires and sort of recouping themselves. Okay, what if we made that into more of a game mechanic, which is a nice idea. And I also like that you have an AI companion at all times as well. So you're never completely alone against the elements.
I got rid of him. I was like, mate, get...
Kick him off a cliff.
Get stuffed. I want to get good. And then apparently that was the wrong thing to do. Meant to have someone with you because apparently it's so difficult.
I did that style thing in the new Kirby because you're supposed to play that as like a team of four people, and I just didn't want to.
The game that you're meant to have four Kirby.
Yeah, to hell with that. I want to play a Kirby game, not some weird party for the 3-year-olds thing, even though that's what Kirby is. But still, I don't just go into that game and just kill my partners until it's just me, because that's how you play Kirby.
Four Kirbys.
No, the real Kirby's right there. It's his little turtle friend or whatever.
Kirby buddies.
Kirby slaughter on Christmas Day.
Wow.
That's the way it should be.
This is horrid. Please go and love your Kirbys and your Kirby.
It is horrid, but I have two positive things left alone for the rest of the year's announcements. So we had the Video Game Awards in December, which was a whole bunch of different things.
Lovely.
Celeste won Best Indie Game, won Best Game for Change. The overall game of the year went to God of War, which was good to see. And Ultimate Alliance 3 finally got announced. I don't know if you guys are Ultimate Alliance fans, but that thing's finally coming, even though it's on Switch.
I was going to say, Ewan was very excited about Ultimate Alliance.
He was miffed, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very excited to hear it.
Perturbed.
And then as soon as it was Switch only, his face just went... he's not happy.
It's weird flex, but okay. But mostly weird flex. Why is it a Nintendo exclusive? It makes zero sense for a Marvel property to only be on console.
It's not enough for Minus someone Spider-Man. Even like Ewan to want to buy a Switch for that one game. So why are making it?
It doesn't look like the smoothest thing either, looking at the gameplay footage. Considering that the production values that went into the first two, this one looks a lot more like Marvel Heroes or more like a base hack and slash kind of game. The animations didn't look the most polished.
Didn't interest me, and I love the Marvel stuff.
Well, clearly not, because you're not loving this.
The Marvels and
on your Switch.
The things.
But still, I will end on a big old positive thing that you two might not even care about, but as I was putting these news things together, we got a Halo announcement.
Did we?
For the new Halo.
That's nice.
Do you want some Halo?
Halo 6.
I mean, not...
Not 6.
I'm five. Indifferent to
good.
It.
Well,
I'm pleased that you're pleased.
As one of the...
Not Halo 6?
No, Halo Infinite.
Okay.
Which you could call Halo 6, but that's not what they're calling it. Because they want to move away from numbered things. They said this during Halo 5.
But does it follow on from Halo 5? Because
I don't
Halo
know.
5 did not end. It just kind of...
I don't know. This thing is called Halo Infinite, and they've said that they're making it for the fans. Mm. And so the big announcement, the big thing to get the Halo franchise back on track after Halo 5 is that this one will have 4-player split screen.
Oh!
Split screen!
Oh, I am excited about
1998 best feature coming back again.
Split screen. I am. God bless
you. Remember the days?
Yeah. God bless us, everyone.
And so it took them this long.
I loved Halo 2 and yes. Halo 3.
Yep.
Oh, that's quite and exciting, four. Actually.
4 had it 2, and then 5,
I
they took it out.
I never played 4. I missed out.
Four, okay, right. Four is fine. Four is the your thing where you're like, it's not that bad. Four is the it's not that bad.
Four is the Colonial Marines.
Yeah, Colonial Marines.
No. Four's actually good. This is not an evolved situation. But
whoa, are you just gonna crap on all of my
Yes, it's Christmas.
Here?
This is the Christmas. Part of the meal where we all insult each other. But Halo 4, I would say, is still a very good shooter. People just don't like it because it wasn't made by Bungie. But I guess it's fine. It's not made by Papa Bungie. But 343 came in and did a very good job. Halo 4 is still very much recommendable, unlike Halo 5, which was just not.
Halo 5 was marketed at something. I thought it was going to be something, and then I played it, and I was like,
"Yeah,
this is not the something."
The marketing was a complete lie. Just nothing to do with Spartan Lock fighting Master Chief was in there, other than one scene. It was
that could have been so good. Maybe Infinite will be what we wanted.
So Infinite, it seems that they're very much doing the fan focus thing. When it got unveiled, they showed Master Chief standing on the Talon cartographer level, or at least on that planet, which again might be gobbledygook, but that was something from the first game. And so a lot of Halo fans are like, "Oh God, they're doing the thing we like."
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So 4-player split screen is apparently back. And nice little Lovely. Halo,
oh, that's nice.
Halo joy for all.
Hooray!
So that's pretty much been our wrap-up of the entire year. I don't think I missed anything massive, but I'm sure the comments will have already let me know.
I mean, obviously there was a few Nintendo games, Pokemon. Pokemon got rebooted back in November.
True.
I feel like that was monumental for Pokemon. And
true, actually, we did. We have been spending most of our lunch times and times in between everything, other than we do playing Pokemon, trading Pokemon, losing to Rage at Pokemon, because there's no other way to play that game. Oh, but we got
Scott Failford.
There
it is.
On a Christmas day. But not to worry, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. Let us know what you think down in the comments below or find us on social media. I have been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Rich.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And joined by Ash.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
And a very Merry Christmas. We'll catch you next time and we'll catch you next year. Bye.
Bye. Happy holidays too.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.